Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Thank you. Thank you, ladies, for the singing and the worship. Romans chapter 1. We all are occupied with the news that we're watching and witnessing regarding Europe. And years ago, many of us from this church have been in Europe, and we are connected with probably 1,000 people or more in Europe, and also many of them we know in the Ukraine. So we are on the phone a lot. Pastor Chris Moore, who lived in Ukraine, Pastor Gary Grunwald, who's also going to share a little this morning. I want you to notice this verse, Romans 1 and verse 14. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Turn to your neighbor and just say, you look like a barbarian this morning. Would you pick up your game, please? It's a wild crowd today. Oh, wow. Okay, so I am a debtor to the Greeks. They are the educated people, and the barbarians are not. I am a debtor to the wise and to the unwise. So we are debtors. This is a good word for us. We are debtors. We have something from Christ, a blessing. Him, we have him, and so we want to bring it to others. So verse 15, so as much as in me is, wow, as much as in me is, it means with all my heart, with all that is in me, with all my desire, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So this preparation for sharing the gospel is in us. Where do we get that preparation? Yeah. We have, okay, go ahead. What? Bible college, okay, yes.
The soul,
our soul, okay. The word, yes. We are prepared by God, aren't we? We get the preparation by the local assembly, by the Holy Spirit, by us with God in our reading and our preparation in our heart. So as much as in me, this happened years ago in our church with our pastor's vision. And about 50 years ago, we're getting up there now, we started. And we're in like many places, and we've seen a lot of amazing things happen. So look at verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It really is powerful. I am not ashamed. It is out of the ordinary. It's not that everybody is talking in the street about it. It's not that everybody learns it at school or learns it in the church. It's not like, you know, some people go to church and all they see is the back of somebody's head. And they stare at that head for 45 minutes and leave. And that's about all they got out of the meeting. That cannot happen to us. No, we have to be prepared with the gospel. It is the power of God, verse 16. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first. Why the Jew first? When Paul went on his mission, he would go to the synagogue first because they are the closest to the scripture. They are the ones that understand our thinking. They are the ones that have exposure to the revelation of Isaiah and Jeremiah, and they know Abraham and Isaac, and they know David and Solomon. They know the prophets. And so to go to the mission field and reach the Jew, that's what Paul is saying. But then he also saw how many Gentiles came. Many Gentiles came to the faith. So just by way of introduction this morning, I want you to think about missions. And I want you to think about what this is saying, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And it's beautiful when in your own heart and in your spirit, you have a relaxed way of talking about Christ with people and persuading them, convincing them, having a discussion, listening to them, leading them, sharing the gospel, the good news, the forgiveness of our sin, the new birth, the new heart. Now notice something. Do you see what the Western world is watching now in the war that is in the Ukraine? Do you know what we are watching? What are we watching there? But the condition of the human heart. What man is capable of. The hunger for power or influence. What man is. Oh, this shouldn't happen in our world. It is happening. What's the answer? Christ is the answer. What's the problem? The human heart. Many times these crises and catastrophic things, they draw people to God. And that's why we are speaking about this today. Even though we planned this Missions Day a long time ago, this is a Missions Day Sunday, Missions Sunday. But I want you to see this for a second. It's verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Everybody. Therefore, our first team was El Salvador. Second team was Finland, then Sweden, the UK, Holland. And we started sending out teams through the decades. I've trained people from our Bible college to preach and minister and pastor people and care for them. And then we would leave the church in good hands with men of God proven, like Timothy was to Paul, and faithful men. And the good news is that the Ukrainian work, the pastors, the churches in the Ukraine, we have in Kiev, in Lviv, in Odessa, and Cherkasy. And these pastors are staying there. They are pastoring their people, comforting them, preaching to them, however God is leading them. It is Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And the crisis can lead people to Christ. And our plan is to be in Poland in 2 weeks from now with everything up and running. According to our Eurocon conference and our plans, we're going to Eurocon, Lord willing, and we're going to gather and encourage and pray and be together. So this is what we're talking about this morning. So, okay, welcome Pastor Gary Grunwald.
Okay, this is Missions Day. You see the flags wrapped around the poles, the support columns. People are looking. So when I say Missions Day, it's called Harvest 22. It continues through the evening service tonight. Tonight is a night when after the service, we're going to go to the family center, and there's going to be food there, free food. like just an example of missions. Okay, how many people here have never had finished pula? Raise your hand if you've never had finished pula. Okay, great. Tonight you'll have an opportunity to taste it. Okay, and it represents our ministry. You know, someone went to Finland, and you know, it's a part of tonight. It's international. We're going to have Hungarian potatoes. We're going to have samosas made by Western Africans, and we're going to have chai. We're going to have Brazilian chicken. So come tonight. You know, come tonight hungry. There's a lot of food there. Until it's gone, then there won't be any more. So that's tonight. The whole day is about missions. But, you know, our missions is big, and it's in our hearts, and it's actually every day. Our church is filled with ministries. You know, once a week we meet down here at Fellowship Hall to be encouraged to go out. And there's many teams that form on Saturday mornings, and they go out besides our ministries during the week. We have local churches that many people are a part of. We have, we have these mission trips that people take. We have, in the summer, we have locally Summer Alive, you know, a chance to be a team ministering in the city. We do nearby mission trips. Nearby states, we do distant trips in faraway states, and then we also go overseas. And I say we, this is what, you know, we can be a part of. And that's what today is a bit about, is, you know, us being a part of those things. Tonight after service, we will have the opportunity over there, and when you're enjoying the food, there's sign-up sheets. You can ask questions about where to go, how you can be a part, what you can do. And this is for all of us. Come tonight, enjoy this, and think about it today, you know, and then come this evening. So that's about what today is all about. So let's put a stop right there. I want to change gears. These things we often bypass, and they're the prayer calendars, and they... this is marches, and they come out monthly. Imperio puts them together, and they are an incredible way to get to know our churches and to get out a map and to learn the world and to learn our churches. And you say, like, I don't know much about it, about missions at Greater Grace. This is a great way to get reintroduced to missions. Just read through, and you'll learn about churches and look on a map and see where they are. And you'll get to know people and their needs also. The second thing is this Wings of Glory. It's just comes out quarterly, and it's just a synopsis or just a short format of what we're doing with missions. You know, and I read this the other day, and something that caught my attention. This is what has happened. I'm involved in missions in the church, but this is like something that just caught my attention. And there's a section, it's in gray, and it's like, missionaries keep going. In December 21, we sent out Pastor Tony and Marie Pallotta and Oliver Rowan. January 22, we sent out Brent and Lucy Halinga and Chad and Ray Brockmeyer. February of 22, we sent out Mike and Avril Plunkett and Doug and Bethany Pearson. Okay, just, we almost forget or are familiar, or like we don't realize just like what our church is doing with this gospel that's in our hearts, that we've been taught about, that is really applied in our life, and we believe it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul said in chapter 1, verse 1, he was separated unto the gospel. It made him different. He was separated from others because of the gospel, and he knew he was different. So these are two things that are available in the church lobby after service. Pick them up And take them home and just read them when you have time, and you'll get the map out and get to know our churches, okay? That's that. Then the other thing is what Pastor Shallow was talking about with Ukraine. It's intimate to us because we have brothers there. We have ministered there. You know, I had the privilege of serving with, I mean, this is so true. I saw God call Pastor Chris Moore to the Ukraine. And I saw God, my wife and I were there, and I saw God heavily anoint him for times like today. And, you know, we were on the streets, you know, in 1993 when the Iron Curtain fell, and we saw disciples be raised up. And they're getting saved. They're going to Bible college. They're becoming pastors, you know, going throughout all of Ukraine. But and right now, you know, as we've been praying for them, as they're in the news, yesterday I spoke to Pastor Andre in Kiev, and he didn't even talk about the war. He had a life that was higher than the war. And it wasn't his focus, even though I'm sure it's impacting him greatly. He had something in his heart that was far above that. And I was able to testify, you know, I saw him testify about it yesterday. So we're going to have a video right now of just some of our Ukraine brothers. We'll see the country. We're praying for that country, for God's miracle, God's wisdom, God's miracle, God's hand, God's salvation, God's purpose in this country. So maybe we can show that Ukrainian map if we have it. Okay, this is Kiev, the capital, Lviv, western Ukraine, where the church originally started. You see its borders. Moldova, Hungary, Slovakia, Poland, Belarus, and Russia. Are there some slides of our brothers over there? Okay. Oh, Pastor Misha in Lviv. Oh, Pastor Roman in Albina. Grisha, Chikasi, wow, Igor, wow, I love him. Oktay in Odessa, Andre in Lviv, in Kiev, Pastor Vladimir, Marta, and their family. So those are the brothers, you know, some of the leaders there in Ukraine. Let's just have a moment of prayer. Father, we are so grateful that you take us into all the world with your gospel so that these men can have a divine purpose, these people and their churches. Other missionaries that have gone and to Ukraine and who've seen revivals in Ukraine. Thank you for your wisdom, God. We just think of all the prayers that people have offered up to you, and you've seen the desires of people's hearts, God. You've heard their fears. You've heard their requests. You've bucketed their tears, God. God, you're the God of all comfort. God, we just ask for your spirit to comfort that nation, to direct leaders, to direct people. Give people wisdom. protect them bodily, physically. Strengthen your church in that nation, God. God, we thank you for your wisdom. It's past finding out, God, but we just thank you for how you comfort us, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for our brothers. Keep them safe. Keep them safe miraculously, Father. We pray for our brothers because we know them. We ask for a hedge around them. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Okay. And lastly, we're just going to watch a video. Maybe it'll encourage you to think about summer harvest in any way that you could be a part of it. And remember, come back tonight. Come back, ready to for God to direct you. And this is going to be an ongoing process, from now when we're in Eurocon for our church in the next few months leading up to the summer. So we'll be encouraged in it many times. So this is just to encourage you with some testimonies.
So one day, Roger walks up and he's like, "Hey, you should come on a trip with me sometime." And I was like, "Cool, yeah, yeah." And he's like, "How about this summer, Izmir?"
I had a dream about Izmir, and I told him about it. I was like, "I had a dream like that we went to Izmir." And he was like, "I just talked to Roger Robbins. Like, he said, come to Izmir with us." So we were like, "Okay, let's go to Izmir."
And so we prayed about it. We went over a little meeting, team meeting, over his house. And, yeah, I just sensed that that was something the Lord had for us this year. So we went to Izmir, Turkey. Yeah, why summer harvest? I mean, we had never experienced that before, being here in the body for about a year and a half to 2 years.
Yeah, I think before I always just thought of it as like little trips. Let's just take a little trip. And not thinking of it as like a mission. Going on missions, it's like, it made me think more like this is a lifestyle. Roger and Liz are easygoing and they're fun people to be around. And like Brittany and VJ are part of the team. And just like watching them live their lives, like they're living it out because they love God and they want their lives to be like this.
This couple that Brittany Howard is like actually friends with and developing a relationship with them, and the team is developing relationship with them, and so they came over and delivered the food themselves. They had to shut the restaurant down because we ordered so much, and they prepared the meal and brought it over, delivered it, and they sat and they ate with us, and they saw the body life and they saw the love, and yeah, it impacted them, and in a way that they stayed and they became a part of the fellowship, and they hung out with us and talked late into the night. And later, Chadesh, the husband, says, "I feel like all my life I've been trying to swim and I've been swimming in the sand, but you guys have found the ocean." And that's God's love, is as deep as the ocean, and it's somewhere where you can really swim, and you can really be refreshed. It's so real. The connection is so real. The love is so real. And yeah, go experience that, and bring that back home. Yeah. My name is Joshua.
My name is Kara.
And this is our story.
Okay, you may be seated. Ward Byers, good to see you. Wow, amazing. Praise the Lord. I have a picture of a farm put up on the screen, so let's look at that, see if it comes up. A farm. Okay. All right, that's good. I wonder who owns that farm. Anybody here? Somebody owns a farm. It looks like it needs help. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark 12. Jesus used this as a parable, and it's really, if that picture could stay up for a few minutes, and I'll read the parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat, built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. So the owner of the farm gave it out to people to work it. And he had the whole thing invested in with a lot of benefits. He really did have a lot of investment in the farm. This is a parable that parallels Israel's history. Israel is like this investment. Israel, the nation of Israel, is like an investment that God made in the world. God gave to Israel a mission. God gave to Israel prophets, promises, covenants, institutions, priesthood, sacrifices, temple. God gave to Israel a lot. How many years was he doing this for Israel? If you start from the year 2000 with the first Jew, who was the first Jew? First Jew was Abraham. He was called Hebrew, he was a Hebrew. He was called a Hebrew from beyond the river. That's what that word means, from beyond the river. Abraham came from far away by promise. There were no Jews till Abraham came, 2000 BC, all the way to Christ. We have Israel being given constantly, all the time. I'll read the parable, because verse 3. Then they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. This is the representative of the owner of the farm. He sent, verse 2, the season he sent to the husbandman a servant that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. Like, I want a return from my farm. I want a return investment. So I sent somebody to go get some fruits and vegetables. But they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. Again, he sent unto them another servant, and him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. Now, some of you are learning the Bible. You're new at it. But if you take these pages and you're to read them and understand what they are saying, which you will learn if you go to church, this church, we do it. We teach the Bible in this church. We learn the Bible. It is the Word of God. It'll go in your heart. The Holy Spirit will minister to your heart. The Word of God will go in your heart by the Holy Spirit, and this changes our lives. It affects us. It helps us. It teaches us. It helps us with loyalty, faith, love, trust, our joy, peace, wisdom, decision-making. It's amazing. So the Bible shows us how they are constantly not believing and rejecting, constantly. They are killing the prophets. They are, kings are like a man that we're watching today in Russia. And by the way, our Russian pastors, we are praying for them. They are godly men, the Russian pastors that are in Russia. They are godly men with vision and mission, and they are very precious to us, and we are praying for them and love them very much. Very faithful, godly men. We see a man who is not caring about the message. Okay? Manasseh was a Jewish king. He was Manasseh. You can read about him in your Bible. He reigned for 52 years as a wicked king, slaughtering his own people. But he got converted and lived three more years, but he was converted. He got saved in 2 Chronicles 33. Wicked men, and all of us in our hearts, we have this potential. Israel is a good example. Let's read the parable. He said, he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head, sent him away shamefully handled. Again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Who spoke this parable? Jesus Christ. He's right in their faces, talking to the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the people there that were questioning him and talking to them. And he goes, this is about you. This is about you. This is who you are. If you read the end of the parable, we'll just jump there for a minute. He said here, verse 12, they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. And they left him and went their way. What did they know? They knew he was talking about them. You're the ones that take and beat the prophets. You're the ones that have evil kings, like in the United States of America, and actually every other nation in the world. We have ungodly men. We have ungodly women. We have an agenda that is wrong. It's not godly. The parable about this is about God saying to us that I have given the United States of America the barns, the fields, the equipment, the fruit, the blessing. I've given them my son, Jesus Christ. And what have they done with him? When I would like to get a return, I am the owner. I own the earth. I own the world. I made the human race. What could I get back from the world? What are they going to give me? Okay, let's go to the last part is Ezekiel 16, and now we can take the picture down and put the scripture up. Ezekiel 16 in verse 49. Behold, he's speaking to Israel. This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. So we'll put here, Israel has a sister, and the sister is Sodom. Where is Sodom? It's been destroyed by fire. Sodom and Gomorrah, it's the same. This is an offensive thing for God to say to Israel. Your sister is Sodom. It's a put down. It's not a compliment. Your sister is Sodom. Be like saying Washington, D.C., your sister is Sodom. It's like saying to Jerusalem, your sister is Sodom. Yeah. Okay. We're getting to the point, and I think you'll see where I'm going with this. Look at the verse 49. Your sister, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. And he gives three things: pride. That's our problem, pride. When Jesus confronted the Jews with the parable and saying, where's the return? I have given you prophets. I have given you blessings. I even brought you from Iraq to the best part of the Middle East, where you have freshwater lake, the Sea of Galilee, the running river, the Jordan. You have fertile land. You have the most fertile land in the Middle East. You have the Mediterranean Sea. And I made you this nation when you were few and small in number. How few were they? Actually, Abraham and Sarah received the promise. And they couldn't have a son. They had no children. They didn't have a son. And God said, I'm making you a great nation. I am calling you not because you are many in number. Who was many in number in history? Egypt was. Later we have Babylon. We have Persia. We have Greece. We have Rome. What did God say? I didn't call you because you were a great people. I called you, you were the smallest in number, and you became 70 people, went down into Egypt, and you come out 2.5 million, and I am God that did that for you. I gave you that farm. I gave you that. I gave you blessing. What has God done for the United States of America? He brought people who were persecuted for their faith with their Bibles under their arms and came here to this country looking for freedom. And look at what God has done for us. But our sister is Sodom. And we have turned aside to three things in this verse 49. It says, pride, fullness of bread, and then abundance of idleness. Abundance of idleness. I have a definition for this word, idle, that I want to read to you. In the Greek, it's this word, argos. It means inactive, idle, unfruitful, or barren. To reduce to inactivity, it is used literally for people hanging out in the marketplace without work. It's used for a widow who becomes wandering about and idle, and becomes just talking idly. Idle gluttons, it's used in Titus 1:12, in the sense of inactive, worthless, is of a word of faith unaccompanied by works. Idle tales. Okay, let's go to the good news. This is like me and you. We have Israel parallels the United States of America, we could say. Israel and her problems and the parallel to the USA. I mean, in some measure. or to me. You could put here, me. This is me. You could also say, I am idle, proud. I have fullness of bread. I am fully satisfied physically and with everything I need. All my needs are met. I am full of myself. Then comes a message. Then comes Christ. Then comes Jesus into my life. Jesus takes a person like us, and this is the purpose of the church, is to be in our face, to be loving, to be truthful, to speak to our hearts. We need each other. We need God's word. This happened in Acts 16, and this is our third and last point of the message. Turn there with me to Acts 16. Missions. Missions is not pride. Missions is actually rooted in Christ. Humility. Humility is a surrender to God, to agree with God. To be offended by God, to be offended by us, by this story that Jesus told, they did not humble themselves. They reacted to him. They knew he was talking about them, and they went away, and they're going to get Jesus later. They're going to take him down. They're going to take him down. This is the mentality of a proud person. They're not going to agree. They're going to take you down. This is in the world that we are living in, we should be aware of human nature. Not only the human nature that we see happening in a war that we are witnessing now on our televisions, but the human nature that is in us, in our own hearts, and how much we need the Holy Spirit to fill us. For Revelation chapter 3 says, regarding the Laodicean church, that they are blind, that they are full of themselves, they are rich. Verse 17, I am rich because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Knowest not that you are wretched. You don't know that you are wretched. Western Europe, it'd be great if Europe, Western and Eastern Europe, would turn to God, because we are afraid that what is happening in our future, and because of the fear, we are wretched. We are miserable. We are poor, actually. We are blind. We are naked. That's what Jesus said to them. The church in America, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me that we would become like in our culture, like defined by these three things, where they were pride, fullness of bread, plenty of bread, and then three, abundance of idleness. That word idleness still kind of escapes me. What is that, idleness? Rich people, they own three or four or five or six houses. And what do they do with their money? What do they do with their lives? What are they doing with all those houses? They are idle. They aren't doing anything. They're not productive. What are they doing? And that's their lifestyle. That's their business. But poor people are idle. They are unemployed. They are not motivated. They can't make a decision. All of us have this problem with being idle. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you're in the city or in the country, the greatest thing we could do is to be motivated by Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ to come into our hearts and motivate us so we can be decisive. We can have a family and keep it together because we make good decisions. We can have a wife and love her because we make decisions. We can have a job and keep a job because we make decisions. I can be a good worker because I make a decision way deep inside in my heart. Deep inside. Motivation. It's amazing. So, Timothy in Acts 16, we have two cases here. Timothy was well reported of by the brethren in verse 2. Timothy had him, actually, he saw Timothy's faithfulness. He saw Timothy as a young man. Did you see up on the screen the Ukrainian pastors? We know Vilmos and Paul may know those guys. I know those guys. I knew them when they were 20 years old. And Pastor Gary knows them and so on. Those guys, they're like Timothy. They were well reported of. There was a transformation in the heart. Instead of pride, there's humility. Instead of being intoxicated with the abundance of bread and the abundance of a material life and the abundance of things, you and I are learning to look at what is invisible. What is the abundant life? It's not the abundance of bread. It's the abundance of Christ. It's not the abundance of my self-life, which people are choking on it. Your sister Sodom. But we have the abundance of Christ's life, the abundance of the Spirit, the abundance of faith, the abundance of making good decisions, the abundance of living every day to the glory of God. How did you learn that? You learn that by Jesus Christ in the local assembly. You learn that in a prayer meeting. You learn that in faith. You learn that in meditation. You learn that by making decisions and losing your life and finding Christ. The answer for every young man in the United States of America and every young man in the Ukraine and in Russia and in China and everywhere else in the world. This is, we are not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to change somebody's life and make them a different kind of person. The second person here is Lydia, and this is verse 14. Acts 16, 14, a certain woman named Lydia. I like to think about her because something happened as she was listening to Paul. It was by the riverside. Why did they meet at the river? Why did the Jews meet at the river in Philippi? Because Philippi was a Roman colony. That Jews were not there, not many. You only needed 10 Jews to build a synagogue. It looks like they didn't even have 10 Jews in Philippi, so they met by the river. Paul went to the river. There was a woman there who listened to him. I remember when we moved to Hungary, we met in parks, we met at the train station. I go, listen to this idea. This was amazing. I go, we don't have anybody in our church yet, so let's go to the train station where everybody is getting on and off of trains every Sunday. Let's go there and have church right there on the platform. So we would go there every Sunday and preach, and people coming on and off trains would stop. I would have a huge congregation without doing anything but standing there at the train station. You know, we would have 10, 20, 30. There'd be a wave of 100 people getting off a train or something. We did so many radical, creative, amazing things because when you're healthy on the inside, when you're not afraid, when you're not idle, video games... Come on, 8 hours of video games? Really? A young man, years and years and years, and now he's 30 years old playing video games in his mother's cellar? Wow, what happened? What happened? If I was in the household, could I change it? If I was in the household, could I have some authority over the situation? Do I have another message? If I was in the household as a dad or a brother or uncle or a grandfather? Do I have any authority? I do not. I don't have the answer. I'm only saying that, oh, your sister Sodom had the abundance of idleness and was lost in ungodliness and never found the true treasure. We might say the communist world is a bad world. Yeah, but how about our own country? What's going on in our own country? You might say, you might find people in another part of the world more open, more interested, more hungry. Missions is to go into all the world with the gospel and to share that amazing message with people. Lydia, verse 14, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Can you open the heart of a teenager? I can't. Can you open the heart of a depressed, homeless person? I cannot. Can you open the heart of a college kid at Towson University? I cannot. My employee or employer or my friend or family member or uncle or sister or brother, can you open their heart? Can you open the heart of a Chinaman, a Korean, a Japanese person? Can you open their heart? You cannot. You know those flowers that open up by the sun? Just take one when they're closed and try to open it with your fingers. In little scissors or a little bit of effort. Come on, open up the flower. And I got the pieces all over the table. I cannot open it without destroying it. I will destroy the flower. How can you open the heart of a person? How can a person's heart be opened? How can it happen? It says here, Lydia says, it says, God, she worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended. What did she do? Attended unto the things which were spoken. What does that mean? She listened. She concentrated. Yes, she was riveted on it. She was after it. She was hungry for it. That's what this is. That's got to happen. That has to happen. It happens. It happens. It happens. World missions is God's plan. It happens all around the world. It happens. Their hearts are opened. I remember in Russia back in 1991, 92, we had 100 people gathered around us at 3 a.m. in a hotel lobby, listening to rap questions and asking questions. We had hundreds of people through those years. It was amazing. God opened hearts. This is his work. Thanks for being part of it. Thanks for your prayers, your attitude towards it, your belief in it. Thanks for your lives. Thanks for your hard work and your communities and also your families. And thank you, God. We are not going to be led by our culture. We're going to be led by God. And by God's grace, our hearts will be open. We'll be fed. We'll be learning. We'll be growing in our faith. And we'll be sharing this message wherever we go. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, you are the answer. Bless this day as we think of these things and lead us, God. Every person, every family member, every person in our church, Jesus, please bless this mission, Lord. And then anyone listening, come to Christ today. Say to Jesus, I come to you, Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you. Save me. Forgive me of my sin and give me a new heart. A new heart, Lord. A new heart in Christ's name. Amen.